Take your Bible tonight. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 8, if you would. Last Wednesday night, I began this message, and how many remember what I preached on last Wednesday night? Just one. Two. Okay, that's good. I've got to start all over. All right, we got people that weren't here, so we just start all over and do the whole thing again. Brother Isidro, you said you were watching last Wednesday. Didn't do any good to hear it, though, right? You can't remember what... All right, that's what I figured. Maybe your memory will get jogged as we go along. But I was preaching to you, if you will, about curtailing compromise. Now, just kind of go over a little bit of what was in the message last Wednesday so we get into where we want to be tonight. Moses and Pharaoh have been going back and forth by this time in the book of Exodus for a good while, and then we get to Exodus chapter 8, and look, if you will, verse 25, "And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And then go to verse 28, "And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away." Then if you turn over to chapter 10 and look at verse 8, "And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go?" And then drop down, if you were, to verse 24. "And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." So I want you to notice what we have is Pharaoh offering four compromises, all right? Basically, Moses, I'll remind you, he had gone before Pharaoh, he and Aaron, and he had demanded of Pharaoh that Pharaoh let the children of Israel go into the wilderness, 3 days' journey, where they could worship the Lord. And Pharaoh began to say, well, you know, I want to give you a compromise. And listen, folks, the lure of compromise is very, very strong. I mentioned to you last week, compromise has an appeal because it seems to give us a way to get what you want quickly. And if you'll take it right now, you can get what you want quickly. Now, not everything you want. Amen. Come on. But it's attractive to us because we're not very patient. And if we can, you know, I'll settle for what I can get, all right? Then it's attractive also because it makes you look better to the world. The world likes you and I to compromise. The world wants us to compromise with them. And it's the rule in the world today. You know, it's... Everybody, if you will, seems to do it. We'll meet you halfway, and it just makes you look, you know, you're not so obstinate, you're not so stubborn, you're not so dogmatic. Heaven forbid we'd be any of those things, right? But it sounds good, it's attractive. And thirdly, it makes disobedience seem to be acceptable. Because the truth of the matter is, all right, God says this is what you need to do. And there's no room there to compromise. There's no room to compromise. When God says this is it, then that's it. But Satan's goal for you after you get saved is that you disobey God. And that's what he wants. He wants you to disobey God. And okay, I can't get you in the ditch yet, but I could have pulled you in that direction a little bit. If you compromise, that's where you're headed, all right? So I want you to look with me tonight at some of those particulars of compromise. We looked at the first two last week. The first one was, hey, we'll compromise on the location it is. You say, God says, go into the wilderness. Hey, just do it here. Just do it here. Just stay in the land. And, hey, the devil, he has that principle about it, you know. Just take care of your business here. Hey, worship at home. Worship at home. I don't know how many people, hey, long before COVID came in and people got overly worried, but long before that came in, I don't know how many people I'd meet as I was out knocking doors that would say, yeah, I used to go to church, but you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I can worship at home just as good. No, you can't because you're disobedient to the Word of God. You just, when he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, I really think he means that, don't you? He means that. So the devil would get you to compromise. That didn't work, and Moses wouldn't agree, so they come back the second time, and Pharaoh says, well, wait a minute here. I'm going to let you go. Just don't go very far. Hey, that's the world. The world's idea right there is, don't go very far in those spiritual matters. Good Lord, you don't want people to think you're a fanatic, do you? You know, I've always marveled at that. We don't mind being a fanatic about some stupid ball team. People will paint their faces, half of it one color, half the other color. They'll buy these big foam things you stick on your hand, you know, with a hand on it, and they'll fork out that kind of money. They'll pay ridiculous amounts of money for a jacket that goes along with their team. You'll pay in Walmart the other day, notice there was Ranger caps, $15. You can get a normal cap for $5, easy. But if it's got that logo on it, you won't pay $10 extra. And people do it and don't complain a minute. And nobody says, look, we're not going to that ball stadium. We're not going out there to that ball field. There's a bunch of fanatics out there. We don't say that. But people say, I'm not going to the house of God. Those people are fanatics. Look at them. Look at them. Good heavens, look at them. Look, they won't dress like everybody else dresses. They won't listen to the kind of music everybody else dresses. And we go to their church, and good heavens, the ceiling is white. It's not black, all right? And they don't have a band. And we will allow a band. Only my brother's going to understand this. Johnny Latex and his rubber band. All right, but anyway, I had to do that for him, okay? Hey, listen, you're going too far. You're becoming fanatics. Yes, sir. The devil says, hey, you can worship, but don't go too far. Then we look at the third thing, all right? Look in Exodus chapter 10. We'll start here tonight. Moses and Aaron, verse 8, came to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says to them, go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you, but not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. In other words, hey, the men can go, but everybody else stays here. Hey, the devil wants you to compromise on the principles that God has established, and he wants you to compromise when it comes to participation. Amen. Participation. Hey, look, don't take the kids. Don't take the kids. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm fixing to say, okay? I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm going to say. Because you're going to think, well, preacher, you're against what we're doing. No, I'm not. But I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's a bad thing to teach children how to sit in church. Amen. I don't think it's a bad thing, all right? Now, it is a challenge. Come on, amen. Yes, sir. Okay? It is a great challenge. But it's a wonderful thing for the whole family to be in church together. Right. Now, once again, I'm not opposed to what we're doing tonight. I don't want anybody to say, well, preacher, why don't you do it? No. But I'm just saying it's a good thing. The whole family ought to get in church. The whole family needs to be in the house of God. I'm glad we have a nursery. I'm in favor of nurseries. 100% I'm in favor of them. I'm in favor of children's church. Don't misunderstand me. Man, there's numerous times it's very necessary. But I think of missionaries. Think of missionaries on a foreign field. They've got everybody under one roof. They've got ball and young'uns, you know, and they've got pigs rooting through the, you know. They may come in and enjoy the message too a little bit, you know, and all kinds of things go on, you know. And you got all of that, and there's no air conditioning in a lot of those places. No air conditioning, and so you're fighting the bugs, and you're fighting the noise and everything. The truth of the matter is, I feel like, man, I'm living in a soft time. Man, I've got heating and air conditioning, padded pews. Now you say, you don't want to get rid of them, do you? Oh, heavens, no. No, not on your life. But, man, sometimes, you know, we want it too easy. Thank God we've got it the way. But, hey, what I want you to see is the devil says to us, look, don't involve everybody. Don't involve everybody. Hey, in communist circles, that's exactly what they do. Many communist countries, old folks can go to church, but not the children. Not the children, all right? The devil wants fewer and fewer people serving God. Fewer and fewer people serving God. If we can just get them away from it. Hey, can I tell you what's good for mom and dad is good for junior. And juniorette, too, all right? It's good for everybody. It's good for everybody. Preacher, what do you have at your church for the youth? Well, we have 10 o'clock Sunday school on Sunday morning. Then we have 11 o'clock preaching service. And then we have 6 o'clock preaching service Sunday evening. And then 7:30 on Wednesday night, we have preaching service. And Tuesday night, we have soul winning. And we have bus work. And, I'm talking about for teenagers. Me too. Exactly what I'm talking about. It's exactly what I'm talking about. All of that's for everybody, okay? All of that's for everybody. It's not to be viewed as, well, that's not for the kids, no. Hey, God's demanded that children be involved. He demanded it here. Look, if we're in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Well, we forget some of these things sometimes. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, if you would. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Hey, you're to teach them. We're to teach them diligently unto the children. Amen. It's a good thing to teach the kids the same thing mom and dad got. Listen, I sat in service as a kid. I've been going to church as far as I can remember. I never remember a time when I didn't go to church. Because we went every Sunday. We went every Sunday night. We went every Wednesday night. We went every revival service. Anytime there's anything, we went. Now, I'll be honest with you, when I was a little kid, I slept as much at home at church as I did at home. Amen, yes, sir. Man, I'd stretch out on the pew there as a little guy, and man, I wouldn't sleep, you know. But I'll tell you this, when I was nine years old, I had enough sense to hear the preaching of the Word of God, feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and to get saved. I didn't have to be 23. Didn't even have to be a teenager. I'm glad my parents said, amen, you're going to church. Amen. Now, I know they said that, but I never remember them saying it to me. It was just, hey, get up Sunday morning, let's get dressed, we're going to church. Actually, they didn't have to say that because Saturday night we knew Sunday was coming, all right? So we already knew the next day, we're going to church, that's what we do, you know? And, man, what a good thing to do. Satan says, no, leave them out. Leave them out. Oh, listen, in the day in which we live, our kids especially are bombarded with filth. It's available to them that you and I, who are older, could not touch at that age. No way. But it is for them. They're exposed to things. God help should never be exposed to. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. That's the reason I'm going to say it again. I've decided a long time ago, or actually not too awful long ago, that every time I get a chance, I'm going to say, your kids need to be out of the government schools. Amen. They need to be in a Christian school. Yes, sir. Because of the influence, everything that's there. Yeah. All right? Hey, it's good. But the devil says, let's compromise on that. Amen. Let's compromise on that. Look at chapter 10, verse 24, would you? Pharaoh called and he said, "Go, ye serve the Lord. Let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." And then Moses said, "Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God." Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I love what shows up in this next verse. "Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind." Thank God for Moses that said, "We're not compromising. We will not compromise." You know, he said, look, he wanted them to compromise on the price that was requested. Hey, listen, when they went in worship for them involved sacrificing animals. It involved shedding of blood, all right? That was involved in it. To say to you, you can go worship, but leave your flocks, that means you can't really worship when you get there. You can't really worship. Now, the truth of the matter is it costs something to really worship God. Now, we live in a day when we talk about a price, and what most people think of, we grab our billfold. Because we think the tithe. Preacher's going to preach on tithing again. Well, hey, if you know you need to tithe, why do I need to preach on it? Shouldn't need to preach on it. Just ought to remind you about it from time to time, all right? But I want to say this to you. When it comes to the price that ought to be paid in worshiping God, it's the wrong way to think when you just think of the tithe. Because there is a whole lot more than that involved. In our songbook, I want you to find a page for "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Would you? Would you look that up, Mary, and grab the songbook? "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Tell me what page it's on. 329? All right, 329. I want you to look there with me, would you? A fellow by the name of Isaac Watts wrote this song. All right. You said, what's the price, what's the cost of Christianity and really serving God? Would you look at the last verse? Right. "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my tithe." No, that's not what it says. "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." You said, what's price? That's it. That's it. What does the Lord deserve from me? Everything you've got. Everything you've got. Everything you are. Say, "Preacher, are you telling me I ought to come every Sunday and put every dime I've got in the offering plate?" No. But I'm telling you, you ought to give yourself to God unreservedly, and He ought to know He's got you. All of you. Everything about you. Your billfold, yes, He's got that too. I mean, He's got you everywhere and everything. I've got a message Jim Vineyard preached, and the title of it is "In Thou Shalt Be Blessed." And he gives an experience where he had stopped in the middle of the night. He was on way home back from a preaching engagement. He said, "It's the middle of the night. I stopped because I was getting sleepy and getting some coffee. And a guy came in and he needed a tire on an old beat up pickup. And he talked about how God dealt with him. He said, you can help that guy. And so he told him the guy didn't have enough money to buy a used tire. And Brother Vineyard said God poked him and said, all right, take care of it. So he said, I bought him the tire, and while they were putting it on, I invited them in to sit down and try to give him something to eat. And the only one that said he was hungry was the little guy and the boy. And he said, all right, give them all something to eat. And then the fellow across the way looked at him and said, why are you doing this? Brother Vineyard said, because my daddy's a rich man. Amen. And he said, he told me to do it, and he gave him the gospel. And he talked about being able to lead him to the Lord. But this is the part I want to get to. He got up at the end, he's getting up to go, and he said, I was paying, looked in my wallet, and saw what was there, and he said, the Lord poked me and said, give it to him. Amen. So he said, I reached in and gave him everything I had in my billfold. Hey, listen, God demands our all. Yes, that's the price. We live in a day where Christianity is relegated to 1 to 2 hours a week, and that's it for most people. On the other hand, I think of the Apostle Paul. He said, "For to me to live is Christ." Is Christ. Fellows, I'll tell you, real biblical Christianity is not a ritual that we engage in when we walk through the door and get together with other people and we go through whatever ritual it might be, all right? That's not what Christianity is. Christianity, it's your life. Amen. It is your life. It's everything you are and everything you have. It is your life. But Satan says, meet me halfway. Let me get you to compromise on that. So what's the results? What's the results when we compromise? Let me say this to you. One compromise always leads to another. Every time. If you compromise with your boss, one compromise leads to another. Every time. I don't care who you are, where you are, you start compromising, one leads to another. And so here's what that basically means. I mean, we're going to illustrate it for you. Know you. This is real deep. Stay with me, all right? All right, so if there's where the devil wants you, here's where God wants you. If you're compromised, you move over. All right, and the next time you compromise, you move over further. And it's pretty obvious you're a lot closer to where the devil wants you than you were. You see, one compromise always leads to another. And compromise never helps the work of God. Never helps the work of God. It always hinders God's work. It always promotes the devil's work. It always. Now, it is amazing to me how people in our day, you know, we talk about toleration. You and I as Bible believers are bombarded with people say, you need to tolerate us. Say, why? You don't tolerate us. You don't want to tolerate us. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying this. The devil's crowd always wants God's people to do the compromise. Always. Doesn't promote the work of God. It promotes the devil's work. Compromise also produces very weak Christians. Very weak Christians. It doesn't take much to upset them. Doesn't take much to ruffle their feathers. It doesn't take much to cause them to say, well, if that's the way they're going to treat me, I'm leaving. I'm not going back. I'm not going to do that. I mean, it just doesn't take much. It's weak Christians, and they will not give much of themselves to serve. You say, what do you mean? I mean like this. Preacher, I'll do whatever you want as long as it's convenient for me. As long as it's convenient for me. But wait a minute. Do y'all remember where the Bible said? The Lord Jesus Christ said, let a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But we live in a day of Christianity that expects God to let us off the hook. So we don't have to deny ourselves. I mean, good grief. We live in the day of self-indulgence, not self-denial. I don't want to deny myself. I want to indulge myself. And preacher, I mean, really, I can't come. I mean, I cannot come to church. You do realize I've got Super Bowl tickets, and they play that game on Sunday. I know that. And you can like it or lump it, but what you tell folks around you is this stinking ball game is more important than me being faithful to God. Wait a minute, preacher, I go all the other services. No, you don't. We, for years, Dad pastored in Florida. And it was around this time of the year, I think, maybe just a week or two earlier, I think it just happened. They have a race down there, the Daytona 500. We had two or three men in the church, you could count on it, they would not be in church that Sunday. They're running the Daytona 500. Well, ring-a-ding-ding. Aren't we serving God? Don't we talk about Him having the preeminence? Man, y'all don't get too quiet on me out there, and that kind of worry me just a little bit, all right? Very weak Christians. Very weak Christians. We don't take the command of God seriously. We don't take them seriously. But the last thing it does, weak Christians are easily conquered. Weak Christians are easily conquered. Just mark it down. You can count, they're easy to conquer. Satan gets his way. Why? Because we compromise back yonder. We were willing to compromise back there. So what is the answer to the call for compromise? What's the answer? Exodus chapter 8, look at verse 27. Exodus chapter 8, verse 27. Now remember, Moses had told Pharaoh, all right, we need to go 3 days' journey into the land. And Pharaoh says in verse 25, go sacrifice in the land. Mm-hmm. Verse 27, Moses, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He shall command us. Hey, what is the answer to the call for compromise? It is a very firm stand on the Word of God. Boy, I'm standing on this book. It behooves us to know what God wants, why He wants it, and just to stand right there and say, that's it. That's it. We're not going any further. Not going any further. You can forget it. You can forget it. When I was in school, they used to have P.E. classes, and they would dance in P.E. And I would hear about that, and I would go, oh, great. I'm looking forward, so forward to that. He said, preacher, you looking forward to dancing? No. I was looking forward to going to him and telling him, I ain't doing it. I was looking forward to taking off P.E. time. That's what I was looking forward to. I can do without it. He said, why? Because I believe it's wrong. Well, preacher, it's just square dance. I don't know what they were doing. I have no idea. The bad thing about it is they never did it when I was in the class. I missed my chance to be able to say, I can't and I won't. And you say, it's just square dance. Okay, just square dance. What's the next? What's the next one? Hey, man, I'm just against it. Just against it. Not going to go that route. Hey, why? Because I'm going to stand on what I believe God says to do. Going to stand on His Word. Not only that, that it is a firm stand. Look at chapter 10 and verse 9, would you? Here's the offer. You know, go and serve the Lord. But who's going? And Moses said, we will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters. He said, we're all going. We're all going. Hey, you know what? You want the answer to compromise is called, then take a stand for yourself and your family. You need to understand. We need to see and understand the connection with our children and ourselves, okay? Children do what they are taught to do. They do what they're taught to do. And what they are led to do. Now, if all you do is tell a child to do something, and that's all you've ever done, is just tell them to do something, they may not get the job done too good. But what you teach them to do and lead them to do makes a difference, all right? I hear kids, or I hear people say, as a matter of fact, I read somewhere just the other day some very famous individual who I've heard the name, but it means absolutely nothing to me. I think she could be some kind of entertainer and a singer maybe. And she was talking about she was repressed. She grew up in Texas in the Christian and in all of that and how terrible it was for her. And it just really stunted them. I'm looking at them. I've listened to those people make those kind of statements for years. And I thought, you should have lived in my house. You think you had it tough, man. You should have lived where I lived. There's no way. Don't give me that story, okay? My brother and I, we never got a choice about anything. Period, you know? And it was just it. This is it. Do it. And Dad says, we're doing it. So we did it. We did. But he taught us to do it. But you know what? Listen to me. He taught us to love it. He taught us to love the Lord. It wasn't a punishment. And when you're bringing your kids up, you teach them to love the things of God. You don't. Boy, it's a difficult thing. This is a 2-hour message, what I'm talking about. Right? You don't just pour it in or cram it in. Okay? That's not what you do. And I told, man, my dad, he was strict all the way down the line, and this is the way it will be, and you will do it. We did it. But he taught us to love the Lord. He taught us to love the Lord. It wasn't a situation, you know, where you're being punished, you're going to go to church. No, man, we got to go to church. We got to get in on what was going on. We got to be in on the singing and having a good time. And, some of the best times of my life been in the house of God. As a child, the scaredest I ever was in the house of God. I'm not going to tell you the story now, but it was, all right? Scared the fire out of me, you know? But, had great times in the house of the Lord. But somebody taught me, somebody led me.
Amen.
Listen, you take a stand for yourself and your family. You don't let the devil convince you you've got to compromise. You don't have to do it. Let me just take a swipe at it. Every kid doesn't need one of these. Okay, just going to run through that one. Now, there may be some of you teenagers here going, preacher, don't say that! I'm just telling you they don't need it, all right? It's not. I don't say they couldn't have a phone. But a flip phone's good enough to make a phone call, all right? Get them out of a lot of trouble. So that'll take care of it. Look in Exodus chapter 10, verse 26. When you are really strongly maybe tempted to compromise, look at verse 26. Read it a while ago. Our cattle shall go with us. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. Hey, you know what that means? A determined no goes a long way to help us reject compromise.
Amen.
Reject compromise. When Moses said not a hoof, I think Pharaoh understood him. He said not a hoof. We're all going. That was determined. That was a definite no to the compromise Pharaoh offered. You and I need to learn how to say no. No. I preached a sermon on Samson, and I entitled it, The Man Who Wouldn't Say No. He just wouldn't say no. You read that chapter, I think it's chapter 16 in the book of Judges, where he's in the lap of Delilah. And read as she begins to talk to him and says, hey, tell me what's the secret of your great strength. And you just check it out. Check it out. What Samson should have said was, there ain't no way.
That's right. Amen.
Now, he shouldn't have been where he was, but when he was there, he should have said, no way. No way. And you read that chapter, and I remember reading it as a kid and thinking, Samson, how could you be so stupid? Surely you figured out what was going on before the end came, right? But you watch him as he compromises in the answers he gives to her. Watch as it gets closer and closer to the truth. What he should have just said was, no. No. When you get tempted to go wrong, whatever it is, it could be co-workers, it could be friends, and they begin to try to tempt you. Hey, man, it's been a tough day. Let's go have a beer on the way home. What are you going to say? Well, I don't want them to think I don't care what they think. It ought to be, you shouldn't say, well, no, you ought to say, no. No. First word out of your mouth, soon, quickly, no. No, can't do that. You know, if you however you want to do it, you can be like I heard one time that I heard this was said. I don't know that it's true, but I heard one time that John R. Rice was, they kept after him to take a cocktail, and finally he said, look, lady, I got saved a long time ago. When I did, I got the hog out of me, and I hadn't had to slop him since. All right? Now, if you want to do it that way, fine. But you just say no. Just say no. I mean, whatever the temptation is. If the temptation is, hey, listen, we're going hunting this weekend. When are you coming back? Well, we'll be back late Sunday. No. No. Can't do that. Can't do it. Hey, you, are you with me?
Amen.
Compromise. Thank God for the example Moses gives us. He said, no, we're not going. He said, we're not doing it your way. We're going to do it God's way.
Amen.
You be careful. You be careful about compromising. Every time the devil wants you to give, the only thing the devil ever gives you is an empty promise. But he wants to give. He wants you to give. And it will cost you like you would not believe. You would not believe. Could cost you your life. Can cost you your family. It's not worth it. Would you bow your heads this evening? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen, I believe some people ought to make some decisions in their life. And sometimes it's good for us to make a decision that says, wait a minute, I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to stand firm for the things of God. I'm going to stand on His Word and His will. That's my life. Maybe tonight you need to come. Maybe you need to come spend a little time at the altar. If you do, I want you to feel free to do that, all right? I want you just feel free. Just, we're going to have the pianist play and going to have a word of prayer, and I'll let you remain seated. But if God deals with you, if you need to come, would you come? Take a stand for God. All right, realize I need to do the right thing. I need to do the right thing. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Compromise kills so many Christians. It destroys their influence. It destroys their testimony. Sometimes, Lord, it'll take their life. Lord, would you just help us to see there's nothing good there? It'll never benefit your work, but it'll only benefit the devil. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, would you move in our midst? I pray in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Mrs. Noble, if you'll play on the piano there a little bit, we'll give folks come. We'll give them a chance to pray, and you've got time to join them. God deals with you. Would you do it? Hey, I'm saying no. I'm saying no.